Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word comes to us from the first chapter of Luke, hearing again at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph in the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. This is God's word. I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is that you have God's favor. He has chosen you for a holy purpose. The bad news is your life is about to become more complicated and painful than you could possibly comprehend. What do you think about that? This is the basic gist of the message delivered by the angel Gabriel to Mary, who's learning here that she will become the mother of God's own son. And the shocks multiply throughout their exchange. Shock number one is that an angel shows up. Shock number two is that he speaks a discernible message. And shock number three is the content of that message. We don't really get a highly detailed description of Mary's reaction, but we are told that she was both greatly troubled and trying to discern what this was all about. I mean, of course she would be greatly troubled. Who wouldn't be? But she's also very thoughtful throughout this exchange in a way that serves as an example for us. So as we find ourselves on the very cusp of Christmas, peering over the edge into the next couple celebratory days, let's consider the parallels between our lives and Mary's as we prepare to join her on her journey to Bethlehem. Now, Gabriel's introduction is described in very plain, almost boring language. There's nothing flashy about it at all, nothing mystical. We're told Gabriel was sent to Nazareth and that he came to Mary. No blinding flash, no trumpet blast, he just shows up. The focus is on his message. And verse 29 makes it quite clear that Mary was not troubled by Gabriel per se, but by, quote, the saying, unquote. And what was the saying? "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, that ought to grab your attention because Gabriel hasn't said a word about having a baby yet. He's only proclaimed what you might call gospel words. But Mary's reaction is telling and truthful. Sounds like she's not that comfortable with being thought of as favored by God. And the presence of God is also a concern. Can you understand Mary's cautious feelings? Have you had them yourself? When God's good news is announced, the human heart can react in a number of ways, many of them falling into the category of greatly troubled. A person can hear the words, "You have found favor with God," and doubt that it's possible. to say to yourself, I don't deserve that. To say to God, I think you've got the wrong person. That's because we are so used to the idea of spiritual scorekeeping. At a basic level, the human mind thinks God could only favor a person with a very good track record. And since I don't have one, that leaves me out of the discussion. But what Mary is told, God now tells to you too. Nothing is impossible with God. In God's hands, that which is ordinary becomes extraordinary and blessed. The Christmas message is for ordinary people, those who need life and salvation by grace. Salvation typically seems too good to be true. But remember Jesus' response in Luke 18, when those who heard him asked, well then, who can be saved? And Jesus replied, what is impossible with you is possible with God. There is a temptation today to move away from grace. People today feel they're extraordinary on their own terms. We live in a world of bravado, of arrogance and pride. The Christmas message turns all of that upside down and on its head. Mary stands as a timeless example of what a person becomes by grace through faith. She was no person of false bravado. Exactly the opposite. When Gabriel says, greetings, O favored one, that's a statement of, well, favor. God has chosen Mary. That's what grace is. God chooses his own. And his choices are often astonishing. If God were choosing a kickball team, he would start with the smallest, weakest kid on the playground and then win with her or him. Sadly, about this time of year, many people's nerves are shot. Struggle to buy the right gift, to get to that other party. By the end of the holidays, they actually need a vacation. And add to that the looming specter of war, economic uncertainty, sadness because of separation from family or friends. And it's a lot. But you see, that's the great gift underneath everything else. Right into this world's mess, the true Savior is born. The one who will journey to the eternal punishment of Good Friday's cross so that all who believe in him can have new, eternal, resurrected life. And when we open that gift by faith, joy upon joy, our ordinary lives do take on extraordinary significance in Christ's hands today and forever. Nothing is impossible with God for you. And that means the same faith that Mary had in God's promises, in God's Son, can be yours today as well. By the gift of His Holy Spirit, simply by faith in Christ, all his gifts become yours. Years ago, there was a wealthy man who, along with his devoted son, shared a passion for art collecting. Priceless works by Picasso, Van Gogh, Monet, and many others adorned the walls of their family estate. But the day came when war engulfed their nation. The young man left to serve his country. After only a few short weeks abroad, his widowed father received a telegram that his beloved son had been killed while carrying a fellow soldier to the medic. Years passed. Father struggled to move on. But finally, one Christmas morning, a knock came at the old man's door. And he opened it up and was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hand. And he introduced himself to the man, saying, "I was the friend of your son, and actually, I was the one he was carrying when he died. I came to give you this gift." And the old man unwrapped the package. The paper gave way to reveal a portrait of his son. Though crudely crafted, the painting captured the son's look and personality. The father was overjoyed with it. And it wasn't too long after that that the old man died. All of his artwork was to be auctioned off. When the day arrived, art collectors from around the world had gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. But the first piece was no Picasso, no Monet, no Van Gogh. No, it was the soldier's picture of his son, a painting that had brought joy back to a father's heart. And the auctioneer asked for the opening bid. The room was dead silent. "Who will open the bidding with $100? No one bid. Complaints began to be heard starting the auction with such a subpar piece. What were they thinking? You know. But the auctioneer replied, "This one must sell first. Now, who will take the son?" Finally, one man said, "Oh, I really loved that boy, so I'd like to have it. I'll bid $100. Auctioneer said, "I have a bid for $100. Will anyone go higher?" After a long silence, the auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, sold." The gavel fell. Cheers filled the room, and somebody said, "Now we can get on with it." But the auctioneer looked at the audience and announced the auction was over. Stunned disbelief quieted the room. "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a picture of some old guy's son. We came here for priceless works of art. We demand you explain what's going on." And the auctioneer replied, "Well, it's simple. According to the will of the father, whoever takes the son gets it all." Whoever takes the son gets it all. Our Advent preparation has come to an end. The time is here. The presence of that baby in the manger, that man on the cross, that Savior, alive after dying, is God's yes to your life. Whoever takes the Son gets it all. Mary had little to offer the Lord. That's one of the reasons he chose her. With God, nothing is impossible. And ordinary lives take on extraordinary significance with Him. And Mary would learn throughout her life that the baby she bore and placed in the manger was not merely her son, but also God in the flesh, and also her Savior. And she would hear hard words from her boy. She would experience tremendous pain at his death on the cross, but ultimately she would cherish him as her forever living Lord. This Christmas, then, God the Father offers you the gift of His Son. May your Advent repentance give way to a Christmas faith in Jesus. And may you see that the God who so richly blessed a simple virgin mother named Mary can bless your life with salvation too. For in Christ, all things are possible. Let's pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, with your Son and Holy Spirit, we enter this day so full of promise and excitement, but we also come here today with burdens that we carry, and we ask that you would intervene by your mighty power and remind us now more than ever that all things are possible with you, including beginning with the forgiveness of our sins, the redemption of our bodies and souls, and the promise of eternal life with you to be received by faith. May we follow in the example of Mary and say before you this day, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. In Jesus' name, amen.